Friday began with Italy and Costa Rica. Italy made several changes to their lineup, with Prandelli removing Paletta and introducing Abate on the right and moving Chiellini to the middle and Damian on the left. Also, Motta started, replacing Verratti, and Buffon came back into the team. Costa Rica was relatively unchanged. The conditions of the match were a concern, 82 degrees and 70% humidity under partly cloudy skies at kickoff, but the pitch looked fantastic. Italy probed their CONCACAF opponents, but last-ditch challenges denied any scoring opportunities in the early going. Costa Rica seemed to trouble Italy on corners as Buffon was shaky on balls whipped into the goal area. Just after the hour mark, Pirlo set Balotelli free, but his chip was mishit, and Navas had to be alert again moments later, stopping Super Mario's half-volley. The high line of Costa Rica was living on the edge, and looking back at my preview research, I found that Costa Rica would be described as a counter-attacking team, but didn't think they'd have much of the ball. As Keller stated, he was surprised about how much of the ball the CONCACAF reps had, and this possession gave them a fighting chance. Minutes before the break, Chiellini got away with one, bundling over Joel Campbell in the box. But moments later, Brian Ruiz stunned the Azzurri. At first I thought Costa Rica was too ponderous on that attack, but a sizzling cross from Junior Diaz found Brian Ruiz and his header hit the underside of the crossbar to put the Ticos up 1-0. The stat making the rounds at halftime was that Pirlo only had half as many touches as he had against England, again pointing out the lack of midfield pressure from the English. Gasan was sent on at halftime in place of Mata, and then Insigne shortly after for Kondreva. Looking back at the England game, Kondreva and Damian did not have the same influence as they did against the English. Italy started the half with a little more energy, but not much cutting edge. The offside flag was the Azzurri's biggest obstacle, 11 times in all. Tejeda came off for Cubero midway through the half, and Insigne didn't have the impact that I'm sure Prandelli wanted him to, with the shift filled with offsides and a wayward shot. Costa Rica sat back in a 5-4-1, so the opportunities that Balotelli got in the first half dried up, and nothing else was really there to create an equalizer. Almost wonder if Prandelli might have altered his formation to go with 3 at the back and press forward in an attempt to stretch the Costa Rican defense. Disappointing from Italy, but shows that if you pressure Italy, they are average. James Horncastle noted that Italy were slow, predictable, and imprecise, and Prandelli was right to fear the Ticos. The final whistle blew with a momentous victory for Costa Rica, who advanced to the next round. England are out, and Uruguay will play Italy to see who advances. A win or a draw for the Italian season through. Interesting tidbit I found in between games. ESPN FC reported that Max Cruz, who narrowly missed this World Cup with Germany, decided to play in the World Series of Poker and finished third in the no-limit 2-7 draw lowball. For the middle game, I picked up World Cup orphan Larry, and we went to Reno's East for France-Switzerland. Soccer had to compete with women's college softball and golf for TVs, and sound for the match was a problem. In case you haven't heard, I'm quitting my job to pursue my latest business idea, which is to help bars master the art of TV channels. I mean, how hard is it? Everyone these days has cable, except me, so obviously people are familiar with a service that delivers hundreds of channels to a device that shows moving pictures. I figure I'll develop a 3-part lesson, drop in on a couple staff meetings, and improve the viewing experience for all sports fans. Lesson 1, the remote control. See this device, it magically controls access to hundreds of TV channels. Lesson 2, different channels. Some are movies, some are women's programming, some are sports. This leads to lesson 3, sports. Basketball, round orange ball. Baseball, small white ball with red seams. Football, a brown ovalish shape. Soccer, well, I would say a white ball with black panels, but these days, who knows? Anyway, you get the idea. I would like to watch a game involving one of these objects, and after my course, this won't be a problem. Deschamps made several changes to the French lineup, with Sissoko and Giroud coming in for Griezmann and Pogba. Seferovic started up top for the Swiss, and Mamedi kept his place after his goal in the opening match. Last game, Xhaka and Shaqiri switched at halftime, but they started as they did against Ecuador, with Xhaka in the middle and Shaqiri out wide. A serious head injury for Van Bergen marred the opening of the match. A quarter of an hour in, Giroud struck, rising up to meet Valbuena's corner to open the scoring, and then France pounced on a loose pass and Benzema laid off for Matuidi, who beat the keeper at the near post, and in 2 minutes France had taken control of the group. After Mamedi stung Lloris's hands, Le Bleu went the other way. The attack was under control, but Giroud stupidly tripped Benzema, who popped up to take the spot kick. The Swiss goalkeeper dove to save, and then Kabay crashed a rebound against the post. 5 minutes before the half, France took a Swiss corner the other way, and Giroud found Valbuena on the back post for an easy tap-in. The Swiss were D-U-N done, and Cedric's prediction of Le Bleu winning all 3 games easily didn't look so silly now. A brief fight from the Swiss to start the second half, and then the French turned on the style. Pogba came on just after the half-hour mark in the second half and delivered a sumptuous ball that Benzema finished through the keeper's legs. As good as the French were, a lot of questions have to be asked of the Swiss defense. Goalkeeper should have done better on the first two goals because he got a hand on the header and was beaten at the near post for the second. Senderos whiffed on the four, so that unit will need to regroup before the final game. Also, Brahimi and Endler didn't have nearly the games they did against Ecuador, so some reflection there might help the back line as well. A fifth was added as Benzema was the provider again, and Matuidi scored again, passing the ball to the far post. Desmalek scored the first free kick goal, but not in spectacular fashion. Just low and through Benzema's legs, and then Xhaka scored a wonderful goal to give the Swiss a little momentum. 5-2 to the French and all but through to the next round. Only concern might be that Sakho left with some sort of knock. I had a dilemma about Friday night. The Festival of the Moon was going on in Old Town Lansing. I've gone the past several years, and it's a great event with some really interesting beers and also an opportunity to see people from around town. But with the Honduras-Ecuador game not getting over until 8, that meant only a couple of hours, and I wasn't sure if the ticket prices and the beer prices would justify that investment. Plus, during the France game, the heavens opened up, further clouding the issue. Turns out my body had other ideas. I fell asleep when I got home and didn't wake up until almost halftime of the evening match. In the end, I decided to hang out at home and just chill out. This World Cup has been all-consuming. The first month of my sabbatical was spent working on some blog projects, making my way through The Ball Is Round by David Goldblatt, and my attempt to watch the top 100 movies of all time. Yet once Brazil and Croatia kicked off, these items were put to the side with 3 games a day. I won't say watching every game is a job, but it's a significant chunk of time each and every day. As for the match, Ecuador rained on the CONCACAF parade, beating Honduras 2-1. Costly pounced on a loose ball and scored for the H, and then Ener Valencia kept up his amazing goal record, scoring just minutes later. He did it again in the second half, heading in a free kick. Ecuador would be in a tough spot as they play section leaders France in the final game. Will they blow a rest or go all out? Regardless, the South Americans will have to match or better the result of the Swiss to progress. Not a good day on the prediction front. Italy lost, France won instead of drawing, and Honduras won, but I had them winning 1-0 instead of 2-1. Just a plug about the US-Portugal game. Soccer Nomad podcast and Lansing soccer celebrity Scott Daines put together a big-time watch party at the Lansing Public Media Center in Washington. Food and drink, yes, alcohol, will be available. Should be a great time as Lansing gets together to support the United States. Speaking of Soccer Nomad, another plug for my blog and podcast. My blog is soccernomad.wordpress.com. I post there about kits and books and soccer memories and more. My regular podcast can be found at austinlong1974.podomatic.com or on iTunes by searching Soccer Nomad. As always, hit me up on Twitter at austinlong1974. Today is another critical day. Group F looks to sort itself out. Argentina could all but book a place with a win over Iran, while Nigeria and Bosnia-Herzegovina look to secure points to stay alive. The middle match sees Germany play Ghana as the Black Stars look to stay in the competition. Just a reminder, there will be no pod tomorrow. Full day and I won't have time to get to it. Plan to be back on Monday to look back at the United States game against Portugal. Until then, ta-ta!